You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I'm joined by MC Lobshire. MC is a wealth strategist, an educator, a financial freedom fighter. He's also the founder and president of Valhalla Wealth Financial and the host of the popular business and investing podcast, Cashflow Ninja. I am super excited to have him on the show. So MC, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
Man, glad to have you on. So you are obviously not originally from the United States. Where are you from?
Originally from South Africa. So I came to the United States in 2001 with a backpack, a suitcase, $500, a sense of adventure, and a sense of humor.
Wow. And you've been here ever since.
I've been here ever since. You guys can't get rid of me.
That's awesome. So tell us your story. I mean, you landed in the U.S. and obviously you found your way into real estate and some wealth advising. Give us the history.
Yeah, so I came to the U.S. And I played in a city-based national rugby league. And I did that and played representative rugby up until 2007. And while I was pursuing my rugby career, as many of your listeners probably did too, I came across this purple book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which really changed my life. I bought my first real estate property the first year, actually, I was out of university and out of South Africa. Then I actually, through the rugby network, met a very wealthy private real estate investor. While I was pursuing my rugby career, I got involved in real estate, working in his business, and I started, you know, right at the bottom, turning around apartments, fixing it up, property management, maintenance, putting leases together, finding tenants, signing leases, to eventually getting my broker's license and becoming part of his acquisition team within this office. It was a little bit of a different real estate office too, because it wasn't necessarily just taking listings and selling buildings, but these folks are really going out and looking for deals. And then they obviously had a pool and a network of investors. So they were syndicating deals. They were just buying deals themselves. So I really cut my teeth, and actually by accident. At that stage when I was so young, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to go into real estate. And the experience that I've gotten, I mean, it was almost like a free mentorship program,
sure.
Learning the business inside out. But learned a lot, being especially part of their acquisition team, and seeing how it works from within inside these offices and some of these large apartment buildings were done. And then, I spent some time in corporate sales. 2 years ago, I started my own wealth management firm and education company, Valhalla Wealth Financial. And what we do is we work with individuals and families and small business owners and entrepreneurs and investors to build their wealth outside of Wall Street. And especially with investors, we structure and reposition their assets to maximize their gains in their investments. And then I also have a podcast called The Cashflow Ninja, all things cash flow. A big part of my philosophy is very, very exciting world that we live in. The information age is obviously incredible with the technologies. It's ever increasing, very, very fast paced and changing continuously. That being said, I think the only financial security that folks will have moving into the future will be having income streams diversified across different asset classes. So on the show, I have everyone talking from real estate. I've been honored to have you on my show, all the way through from cash flow, from coffee farms, offshore, cash flow in gold and silver, and then also how to create income streams from other avenues such as digital assets and music royalties.
Well, you mentioned the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is funny how many guests mention that book. But that's very much what Rich Dad is about, right? Is about figuring out how to invest in assets that produce cash flow. And real estate isn't obviously, I mean, this is a real estate podcast, but it's not necessarily the only means of obtaining cash flow. So it sounds like your podcast, you have guests from a number of different industries. Is that right?
Yeah. So from real estate to businesses, folks that build online businesses, paper assets, options trading, gold and silver. I mentioned digital assets, music royalties, and then also oil and other commodities such as the coffee farms. But to your point, it's so true. There's been this mindset, and it's almost it's that thing where everybody just does the same thing, right? I always wondered why, if there's only a small group of people that's truly successful and really creating and building lasting wealth, are we always following the advice that the majority of people are following, right? And that's the accumulation approach, which, you know, people would just save and save and save and eventually try to have that dream retirement that we're fed on TV. But truly, as you mentioned, the mindset change that's in that book is creating income streams and having those income streams for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that, the term accumulation approach. I feel like 90% of Americans, that's the goal, is stash as much away as you can as possible, and hopefully one day you can draw against it in retirement, as opposed to building wealth through assets and assets that produce cash flow for you. And something you can do really within an accelerated time frame and start producing cash flow immediately. Now, you having had all that experience with that real estate firm, do you own real estate yourself?
Yes, I do. I still have some real estate interests. The first property I bought, as I mentioned, that was the first year out of university. So that was back in 2001. Uh-huh. The lessons that come with that, they don't stop, right? As you know, and your listeners that are involved with real estate do know. So it's been a great learning curve, and yeah, I'm still looking, obviously focusing on my business right now, but I love real estate. I've always enjoyed the asset class. You can be very, very creative. There's many, many different strategies that you can use within the asset class.
Speaking of being creative within the real estate asset class, you have sort of an interesting bent on how to utilize, the whole life model for investing in any sort of cash flowing asset. Help us, because I don't completely understand it. So I'm actually really excited to understand exactly what Valhalla Wealth Financial does.
Yeah, so one of the things that we specialize in is the infinite banking strategy. And the infinite banking concept was popularized by Mr. Nelson Nash. He wrote the book Becoming Your Own Banker. And what he meant was not to start your own bank, but merely reclaiming the banking function within your own life. Because just look at banks, right? What a fantastic business model they have. Clearly extremely profitable. So I think what the message was is we have to start thinking like a bank, acting like a bank, and becoming our own bank, meaning we should adopt the same principles that bank has in our own financial life. So what we do is we take the infinite banking strategy, which involves dividend-paying whole life insurance, structured a very, very specific way. This is not the normal cookie cutter whole life insurance that's in the marketplace, but we add riders and contracts, etc., to the vehicle to form our own cash flow management system. And I know there's probably an eye roll for if someone's listening to this, because I did the same thing the first time I come across this. But you should think of insurance just as another tool, like real estate, like businesses, like commodities, like paper and other digital assets. And it's how that tool's being used. I think I've mentioned to you too that I've studied a lot of wealthy families. And of course, when you start doing that, you jump down the rabbit hole and you find yourself in family offices. And a lot of these strategies are employed by these family offices for ultra wealthy individuals. So what the strategy entails is funding the specialized vehicle built on dividend-paying whole life insurance with a mutual insurance company, mutual insurance companies are not listed on the stock exchanges. They've been around since the 1800s for a very long time. They're managed very conservatively, and they have a very, very long-range view in how their operations are managed. As a policyholder with these companies, you are also a shareholder in the company, which is definitely key. But one of the reasons why we use this product is because the money that you put in there grows predictably at a guaranteed interest rate. And then it also participates as the shareholder in this mutual insurance companies to dividends. Now, dividends is paid when these companies are profitable and they're not guaranteed. But most of these companies, as I mentioned, they've been paying dividends consecutively for 100 years during the Great Depression, during market crashes, during the last financial crisis. They were all paying dividends. They didn't skip a beat with that, so they were untouched. And that's why, as I mentioned earlier, I talk about being outside of Wall Street, which these vehicles allow you to be non-correlated really to the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing too is it's tax-free growth inside these vehicles. So it's taxed money that's funded into these policies. So tax-free growth, tax-free distribution. It also is private. It's a private contract between you and the insurance company. It offers asset protection in most states. Check with your legal advisor, which is very, very key in these days. As you know, it's a very litigious society. It's only going to become more increasingly litigious in the future. But I think the really powerful part of this, and where this dovetails really nice with businesses and real estate and what we help our real estate investors do, is when you access your money and it's liquid, it's you can access it at any time, you access it through a policy loan, but the policy loan does not come from your own policy. So it actually comes from the general account from the insurance company separately. So what this means is when you borrow money through a policy loan or access your money, as I like to look at it, it comes out of the general account from the mutual insurance company. Your money in your policy keeps growing predictably and guaranteed as per contract, as if never been touched, and still participates in dividends, where on the other side, you get to leverage that money and invest in real estate, businesses, and other assets. So I definitely look at it as a way of capturing your wealth. I've referred to it as a wealth capture vehicle, and then leveraging it to go and create more income streams and go and create more assets that then that flows back. And then, Ken, as I mentioned, the banking principle is we're funding it just like we make deposits into a bank on the one side into our policy. And on the other side of the bank is the lending part where it's really, really becomes really profitable for the bank. That on that side, we get to loan our own money through a policy loan from the mutual insurance company, and leverage it then to go and invest in more cash flow, which then flows back, pays off the loan. So it all stays within inside your own banking system, quote unquote, and your own personal economy.
Unbelievable. It's sort of like a Roth, right? In that it's after-tax dollars growing tax-free, but without all the limitations. I mean, is there any limit to how much you could fund?
No. So that's exactly right. It is without the limitations. Everything is, and I will just answer it this way too. It's all relative. It all differs from person to person. Obviously, there's an amount that the insurance company will let you establish and set these plans up because, again, we're still using an insurance vehicle. A part of the money that you put in goes towards insurance. So in that slight way, it might be limited somehow. But again, it's relative because all insurance companies, they actually calculate differently the amount of insurance that, you know, they'll write for these plans for you. But yeah, it doesn't have all of the headaches of a Roth, especially the policy loans. The first question that I get is, how liquid is this? How liquid mm-hmm. is liquid? And some of them are up to 48 hours. So it's not like an ATM where you're getting your money out right away. You fill out a quick form, you pick up, or you can pick up the phone and call them. And they'll send it to you. So, and that's, it's 48 hours liquid. The other question that some listeners might had, and I had the same one too, is, well, wait a second. I can clearly see how this benefits me. You know, I'm, I've got my money in there, and then I can leverage my own money to go and create more wealth for myself and assets. How's the insurance company okay with this? And it's a great question, because I'd like business transactions, obviously, where everybody is winning around the table.
Sure.
The insurance company has as collateral, obviously, your cash value, and then also a death benefit. So they protect it both ways. These companies are extremely well managed and run. Warren Buffett loves insurance companies. He calls them one of the best businesses to own, and he owns a ton of them. So trust me, they're very profitable on the one side, obviously getting the premiums up front and investing it on their end. And then you, through a policy loan, can access the money and invest it and to create more wealth for yourself as well.
So can you can borrow up to 100% of the amount you put in?
Most of them are, it's all different. Some of them you can, some of them there's a amount just underneath that. Mm-hmm. So it differs from a mutual insurance carrier to mutual insurance carrier.
I gotcha. And what sort of interest rate are you paying? Because it is a loan. You're borrowing money from the general account, I guess. What sort of money do you pay back in?
Yeah. So some of them right now are between 4% and 5%. And here's the big picture too, is, you know, is anybody going to get rich in the bank by just depositing money into a bank and putting it in there, you know, and become wealthy and grow their wealth? Not necessarily. Just the same way on debt, it takes a very, very high financial IQ to leverage debt, you know, where that's the big leagues.
Sure. Yeah.
to build your wealth with real estate. But put them together and owning the system that you've put together, you can grow your wealth predictably and safely. Now, why I mention that is, can you get a lower rate somewhere? Absolutely, quite possibly. But the mutual insurance company's general account is obviously part of this insurance company that adds into their profitability. So being a shareholder and paying a higher percentage and paying the loan back, I still get to participate in the profitability through the dividends that are distributed.
Sure.
So
right.
It still stays in my own system.
Well, how much money are you, what's a typical return just for having, you know, your money in the mutual insurance company?
Yeah, that's also a relative answer that I'll give you, and probably not completely direct, because that also differs, because we look at an internal rate of return. Because initially, I call it, you're capitalizing the plan. The first mm-hmm. couple of years that you do put money in this plan, you're not going to have 100% of the money that you put in there. There's life insurance, so it's going to start to build up. So obviously at that
right.
stage, there's a right. negative return for you. But over time, you know, these plans, once you've capitalized the plan as I like to look at it, I mean, it could be, I'll just give a range, probably 4% to 6%. It's all across the board. It's different companies. They all have different ones. But I will say this, and this is also, now we're at the lowest interest rates, you know, we've ever been. And
right.
What this is obviously not a get-rich-quick scheme or tool, but it's a way to have your money in a safe, well-capitalized institution, which is another one of the biggest risks that I think out there moving forward will be institutional risk, where you have your money in.
Sure.
Once the next financial crisis hits. So you have it in a place that it's safe, it's predictable, it's certainty, but then you get to leverage it and go and try and create more assets for yourself.
Yeah, I get you. Well, it's the same kind of concept with trying to pump your self-directed retirement accounts, because it's, especially in a Roth, or it's after-tax dollars, you can grow this thing basically tax-free. And that's the same concept with this, right? I mean, if you're out there kind of running a business and making smart investments, who cares about the 4% or 5%? I mean, it's still kind of basically a wash on what you're earning. But if you're doing, I'm assuming you can do transactions, maybe options, where maybe you're plunking away tens of thousands of dollars in basically a tax-free vehicle, right?
Yeah, so the money will go, again, you're not doing it inside this. Say if you're trading options or so, the money will go outside of it. You will pay taxes on that, but then the money will be redirected and flowing back in this. But I say what this does do is it limits the institutional risk. There's no market risk involved with it. And then obviously the biggest wealth destroyer of them all, taxes, the money that's in there after it flows back in there, it's tax-free in there. So you've paid your taxes already. You've only paid it on the seed, not the harvest. So, and with these plans, I can look at it and say, well, at age 55 or 60, this is what I'm going to have in my secure and certain financial core, as I like to refer to it, of my wealth plan.
I got you. So just to clarify, when you borrow money out of it, it's essentially you've borrowed the money and it's outside of that product at that point. So any earnings on the money that you've borrowed is taxed, correct?
Yes. So these companies have been around and these vehicles have been around long before tax laws were even introduced. So the money, once you take it out and put it into stocks and even real estate, that's outside of it. The money right. that flows back into it is after tax money.
Okay. And the money that's flowing back into it is what money?
So, for instance, a real estate property, if you take some of this money to invest in real estate and then get a positive cash flow out of it, the positive cash flow can then pay back the policy loan that you've taken against your plan. The same with traders. Lots of folks will use it probably to trade options. Some people use it to trade certain options on gold and silver. Covered calls, for instance, is a good one with monthly income. So that can flow back into that plan, but you're still going to have to pay taxes on the covered calls that you're trading outside in a separate trading account. It's the after-tax money from those covered calls that then go back into the policy loan.
I got you. It's funny because, you know, I run in these circles. We talk about all the self-directed 401ks. Nobody's really talked about the strategy of using this whole life platform to invest in, you know, your after-tax dollars. I mean, it's a really strong concept. What are you finding? Are you finding when you talk to investment groups that they're sort of dumbstruck? Like, how did I not know about this?
Yeah, I mean, I did a talk at a real estate investors meetup, and I think I was supposed to go for maybe 45 minutes, and I was there for almost it was 3 hours by the time I walked out the door, and we were still talking. Because there's so many questions and so many different ideas. Because again, as with real estate, you can become really creative with these vehicles, and that's why I love it. Because both of them, real estate is extremely a creative vehicle, and the same with insurance. Once you really start to see the power and what you really can do with this.
No kidding. So for those folks that already have policies out there, is it possible to roll over an existing policy into one of these policies?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So just like a 1031 exchange, in insurance there's a 1035. So there's a lot of similarities between real estate and the insurance industry. And I still have a real estate broker's license. It's in holding it right now, and I have obviously insurance license. But it's amazing to see the similarities between the two vehicles in many ways. But to answer your question, yes.
Very interesting. So you having, you know, been around a lot of investors yourself, having invested yourself, is there one deal in particular that stands out to you as your best deal ever?
I'll say the best deal I ever did was marrying my wife, because she has been the most supportive person in my entire life. But from a professional standpoint, my business that I'm in right now, it's extremely fulfilling and rewarding daily. So, obviously the money side is a bonus, but just being able to help people and implement these strategies in their own financial and business lives has been extremely fulfilling for me.
That's all. I wish I could high five you through the microphone, because nobody's ever said their wife is their best deal ever. I love it. I think that's fantastic. That's great. All right. So if folks have listened to this and they're interested in learning more about Valhalla Wealth Financial, where can we point them to?
So my primary platform, they can visit me at ValhallaWealth.com, and I'm also at CashflowNinja.com. And Ken, for your listeners out there that want to learn more about this, they can email me at info@CashflowNinja.com, and I'll actually mail them a copy of Mr. Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. So you absolutely, I mean, this is something that it's, there's a long educational process, obviously. And if they're interested in it, this was definitely something that will get them on their journey of just learning more about this.
Well, that's very generous. I appreciate that. So folks, we'll put this in the show notes, ValhallaWealthFinancial.com, also CashflowNinja.com. And feel free to reach out to MC directly to get the book from Mr. Nash. Or is it Mr. Nelson or Mr. Nash?
It's Mr. Nelson Nash. Yeah, Mr. Nash.
Mr. Nelson. Gotcha, Mr. Nash. Perfect. MC, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. This was great.
Thank you so much for having me, Ken. I had a blast.
All right. Take care.
Hey folks, it's Ken again, and I want to talk to you for just a quick second about becoming a private lender with our company, Georgia Residential Partners. If you've got money right now sitting on the sidelines, maybe it's in a bank account earning less than 1%, or maybe it's in the stock market and you're worried about where the stock market is headed, you might want to consider becoming a private lender with our company. Where you might be getting 1% to 2% on a CD or a money market account right now, when you become a private lender with us, you're actually well into the double digits in terms of return on investment. Again, if you've got money that's not working for you right now, it's sitting on the sidelines, and you want to get it into investment that's safe, that's passive, and has the opportunity to get you well into the double digits, please reach out to me. You can actually contact us through our website at dealfarm.net. Go to the Contact Us page. It goes right into my inbox, and I will reply and set up a time to talk. Thanks so much for listening to The Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.